A reading from the Gospel of Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a little girl, I had a picture of this story in my Bible story book. In the drawing, Jesus is standing in the front of the boat with his arms sweeping out broadly into the air. He has a big smile on his face. The sea is calm. The disciples sit behind him in the boat, and they are relaxed and happy. The world looks beautiful. Everything is good. But I used to wonder, even as a little girl, how did Jesus get to the front of the boat? In the middle of that huge storm, how did Jesus wrestle his way from the back to the front? In the beginning, he slept in the stern. In the end, he stood majestically on the prow. How did he keep from falling out of the boat? What happened in the middle? This story from the Gospel of Mark can be a quick snapshot of fear and faith. The disciples are in a huge storm. Jesus is asleep on a cushion. They wake him up. He calms the waves. This is a baptism and resurrection story. It shows God's power over chaos and death. So we could glibly move from the bookends of, "Oh, you're afraid," to, "Well, just have faith." We could do that in an instant, and we'd be done. But wait a minute. Right here in the middle of this story, between the fear and the faith, there is this moment of floundering. There is this moment of clumsy struggle. There is this moment of helplessness. In Mark's version of the story, one of the disciples, and he doesn't tell us which one, though from the way he sticks his foot in his mouth, Peter is a likely candidate. One of the disciples shouts over the roar of the wind, "Teacher, do you not care? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" When we tell that it is a children's story, we skip that floundering part, or we use Matthew's more reverent phrase, "Lord, save us, we are drowning." But the disciples in the boat here in the Gospel of Mark, they don't seem to know that there will be a peaceful end to their story. It's like they yell, "Jesus, how can you just lie there? Are our lives of no account to you? Doesn't it matter to you if we are saved or lost?" Whoa, we sanitize that part out of a children's story, don't we? Why do we do that? Maybe because once you are an adult, you are not supposed to flounder? Maybe because adults are not supposed to struggle helplessly? Maybe because adults are not supposed to accuse Jesus of not caring? But we do flounder. We do have moments of helplessness. In times of trouble, we may accuse God of not caring. Have you ever been there? Floundering between fear and faith? You're not alone. Peter put his foot in his mouth more than once. Moses said, "God, find somebody else." The prophet Jeremiah said, "Nah, I'm too young." St. John Bosco, whose feast day is today, constantly struggled to have enough money in his pocket. One of Thomas Merton's most famous prayers starts out, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going." Why can't we skip past the middle of this story? Because much of life is lived in the middle, somewhere between total fear and total faith, and often in floundering, struggling, and wrestling with high winds and rough waves. For drowning is real. The waves could pull us under. How do we keep from sinking into the deep? Jesus asked the disciples, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" Maybe that was a reproach. Or maybe that was an honest observation. The disciples did not yet have faith. Yet Jesus helped them just as they were. He didn't ask him to believe based on nothing. He was willing to show them. He changed water into wine. He made a blind man see. He calmed the waves. In their floundering, they found faith. They discovered an inner certainty, a deep assurance, a faith in the one who kept showing them something to believe in. Their ribcage swelled with amazement and awe. Who is this whom even wind and sea obey? So how do we keep from sinking into the deep? It is in the floundering that we, too, find faith. Sometimes that glib answer, "Oh, just believe," it just isn't good enough. The assurance of faith is a gift, an inner strength given when you have no courage left, a helping hand that comes out of nowhere to lift you up, an unexpected calm when the world swirls in chaos around you. We call that grace. Jesus also takes us as we are. He doesn't ask us to believe based on nothing. He is willing to show us. And faith grows when we answer with small yeses and large yeses to that revelation of God. Through the constant little trials of faith, we discover that we can make it through. We can make it through because we are not alone in the boat. There are one or two of you who are listening to this reflection, and the clouds in your life are so black, and the wind is so strong, that you cannot even see the boat, and you don't know if you have faith, and you don't know if Jesus is in your boat, so how can you possibly wrestle the wind? What are you to do? In this moment, focus on the little things. If you can get out of bed, get out of bed. If you cannot get out of bed, pray for someone who also cannot get out of bed. If you cannot pray, curl up on the cushion and stay in the boat. Curl up on the cushion and let the storm rage around you. Curl up next to Jesus where he is sleeping and say, "Jesus, just hold me." And let him stroke your hair and say to you, "My beloved child, peace, be still." And if today your boat sails in calm waters, help out your friends and neighbors who live in violent squalls. Oh, and one last thought. How did Jesus arrive in that majestic pose at the front of the boat in the midst of the storm? Maybe he didn't. Maybe the picture in my children's Bible was wrong. Maybe his response to the clumsy, floundering accusations of the disciples was to lift his head 6 inches off of the cushion, rebuke the wind, still the sea, and then go back to sleep. In real life, that casual gesture might actually have been more awe-inspiring than the majestic pose in the picture. Jesus was tired. Jesus was also fully human, wasn't he? And by his action, and without a single word, he says to us, "Don't be afraid. I am with you in the boat." Or the modern version of the same, "I've got your back. All things will be okay." And so let us pray together. Wherever our boat has been in the past, Lord, we believe that you have been there with us. So when painful memories threaten to crash over us, open our hearts to hear you when you say, "Peace, be still. Do not be afraid. I was with you." In whatever boat we sit or stand, we believe that you are with us. So in the troubling waves of this moment, open our minds to hear you when you say, "Peace, be still. Do not be afraid. I am with you now." And wherever our boat will sail in the days to come, we believe that you will be there with us. So in our anxieties about the storms of the future, open our spirits to receive you when you say, "Peace, be still. Do not be afraid. I will be with you then." For it is not because of what we do, but it is because of who you are that we are safe, no matter what. For your steadfast love endures forever. So help us to hear you when you say, "Peace, be still. Do not be afraid. I am with you always."